9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Big thank you to Alpine Bank Junior College World Series Chairman Jamie Hamilton. He's a busy guy. Got a lot going on this week in particular. Appreciate him coming by the studio and spending some time with us this morning.
I saw five of the teams, four and a half of the teams in the tournament this year also have softball teams in the World Series. San Jacinto, they play softball at the South Campus.
Right.
So that's your half. But you have McLennan, Crowder, Snead, and Central Florida all in the softball national championship starts today.
I think there was, wasn't there a year where Chipola won both?
I believe that's correct.
And Jeff Johnson's the AD, so was a busy guy. He was coaching his team and
athletic directoring.
Exactly. All those
from
things.
Afar.
Do we get a winner yet, by the way, for Triple Play Record Stadium Cinema?
No, we haven't. Starship Troopers is an incorrect
Starship Troopers?
On a couple of different levels, but we do not have a correct answer. I'll play the clip again. This sports movie.
Feeling better? Get in there.
So that's one of our favorite ridiculous
action movies. It involves a sport that is going on right now.
Yes. Two teams that aren't playing right now, but...
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah. See. One of them was actually in the playoffs.
Yes.
For this particular sport.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was not.
We have somewhat tangentially referenced this team's championship success, too. Talking about goaltenders.
Yes, we have. So, there's some clues for you.
Yep.
To win the gift card to AAA
Records.
And
I know the pile loves this sports movie, too. Because it's ridiculousness.
Because it's an action film based around... It's an action film rolled into a sports movie.
Right.
So to speak.
With a bad dad.
With a bad dad and...
A bad guy.
A really bad guy that was a good guy.
Yeah.
When the United States fought against the Russians in a certain other film in the 80s.
Very good actor.
Yeah, very good actor. No longer with us, but very good actor. All right, so it's Mav Day. It's time to talk CMU baseball with the skipper, Chris Hanks.
Talking CMU baseball with Mav skipper Chris Hanks on the team.
With us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, his team winning their side of the South Central Region bracket, now into the Super Regionals to take on Angelo State. Mavs head coach Chris Hanks. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Doing good, Jim. How about you guys?
Doing fine. You guys are still scoring runs over Bergman, right? You guys are still scoring? Because that's what it felt like on Saturday. Holy smokes. I think in the postseason, have you ever had a team explode the way they did on Saturday against St. Edwards?
I don't think we have. I've been here a while, though, so I could be mistaken, but I don't believe we've ever put up that number in a regional.
Yeah, 28 runs, which wasn't even the most you've scored this season, where you had 32 at New Mexico Highlands. So not even a record for the season, but an incredible job to get out of the gate fast. And Matthew Turner, with his home run, that just kind of got things going from the jump. He has the leadoff home run, and then Jordan Stubbings ends up with the grand slam. He has a couple of home runs on the day, 8 RBIs for you as well. That fast start, that 6-run first, really set the tone for your ball club.
Yeah, it was big. And, you know, Jordan's grand slam, I mean, that was huge. Matt Turner leading it off. But to start off that, basically, if necessary, game, a winner take all. And we wanted to get out of the gates quick. I didn't know that it would end up being that quick. But it was sure nice.
And you said before the game, and I think to me, we talked a little bit, and I think it was more after the game when you talked to with Tyler, that you challenged your guys because you had some of your hitters, some of your guys that have had sensational seasons, that, you know, upper half of that order, Hayden McGeary, Spencer Bramwell, that didn't really have the kind of days they wanted in the two games on Friday against St. Edwards, and you kind of challenged your bats, not just those guys in particular, but your offense in general, challenged your bats to go out and be more aggressive and get, you know, and certainly have an opportunity to go out and have a big inning, be smart at the plate, disciplined. Your guys were that as well against St. Edwards pitching, and and just a challenge to your ball club that you know you're capable of being a better offensive team. And you guys, you certainly saw that from your guys on Saturday.
We did. You know, they really played free and easy. We told them to enjoy it, to just let it rip, and that we told them we need to score double digits. We've been underachieving here, leaving too many runners on. Just knock them in. Just, you know, don't worry about things. Just let it rip. And that's what the guys did.
You made a couple of changes where Julian Boyd started in right. You moved Matthew Turner over to left field. That obviously paid off in a big way as Julian had a multi-hit game for you, played really, really well. And then you started Jonathan Gonzalez at second base. Harrison Rogers has had a great season, but just was really scuffling at the plate. And I thought Jonathan did such a wonderful job at the plate, along with what he did defensively, that that had to be a hard decision for you to send Harrison to the bench. He did to come in and it was a pinch runner and played at the in the latter innings of that game. But those are the tough decisions you have to make at this time of the year, and that was a decision that really paid off on Saturday.
Yeah, it really did. And actually, as tough of a decision as it was also easy at the same time.
Sure.
Because, you do this long enough and you can get trapped into playing the same lineup, the same guys over and over because they're supposed to be the most productive guys. But, you know, every hitter goes through down times and slumps, and it just felt like we needed some freshness. And, you know, the thing you notice is you get deep into weekends, the guys that haven't played yet bring a freshness and an energy and a sharpness that can really be a difference maker. And in this case, it certainly played out that way.
Mavs head baseball coach Chris Hanks with us today on the program. Dave Henderson got the start. He had pitched the night before against St. Edward's, Chris, and had a bit of a rough outing coming out of the bullpen. His start was a good one. He allowed the two runs and four hits. He walked three, struck out three, went the three innings to start the game as you kind of pieced it together with your bullpen. Cole Seward came on, did a nice job. He ended up getting the win after going three innings, allowed four runs, three of those earned on seven hits. And then Jacob Rhodes and Austin Lorenz finished off the game for you. But when you have that kind of run support and that kind of cushion, makes it a lot easier when it comes to those guys coming out of the bullpen and being able to go out and feel like there's a comfort level. If they give up a run, it's not the end of the world. There's not that high leverage situation. Those guys didn't face that on Saturday.
No, they didn't. And, you know, we actually had Cannon handy. He was ready to go. He thought he could throw two or three. Blake Rome was ready to go. He thought he could throw two or three. So, and Cooper Vasquez was ready as well. But we started with the way we did, and had it been a little tighter, we probably would have gone to some of those guys, but what it afforded us was a chance to rest those guys and not put any more miles on them, which was good.
Mavs head coach Chris Hanks with us today on the program, and now, Chris, it's your old friends from Angelo, Texas, the Angelo State Rams. They won their side of the South Central region bracket like you did on your side, knocking off Texas A&M Kingsville. To go on, they won 14-2 at Foster Field to advance to the Super Regional. They'll be hosting starting this Friday. And like I said, it's a team that you know well, a team that in 2019 you got through to get to the World Series.
Yeah, we know them well. We've played them a lot. We've played down there multiple times. They're a very good team. I've been watching them on video, and they're as good as ever. They're offensive. They're tough to strike out. They put the ball in play. They pitch it pretty well. They play defense well. You know, obviously, they get to the Super Regional. They're a good team. And they're playing at home. It'll be a real challenge for us. I think in this matchup, we are the underdog. And that's almost refreshing in a way. We talked about it with our guys yesterday there's no reason to carry, any stress or press in any way. You know, we're the underdog. They're the number one seed. We're on the road. They were the team that advanced to the World Series last year. They have a lot of those guys back. So, our objective is going to be to go down there and push our chips to the middle of the table and let it hang out and really try to enjoy ourselves and let these kids have a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Rams are the number six team in the nation. Mavericks number 17 heading into the Super Regional at Foster Field. This weekend, Chris Hanks, head coach of the Mavericks baseball team, with us on the program, and their batting average 362, as you referenced, Chris, from an offensive standpoint, it's a good ball club. Justin Lee's been outstanding for them this season. He's got 92 hits to lead them this year. He's also hitting a 453 right now. He's got 8 home runs. They're not a big home run hitting team like your ball club is, but it's a team with guys like Justin Lee that are pretty good in terms of being able to drive runs, big guys that are good at certainly being able to come up with clutch hits and big moments for this ball club.
Yeah, the Lee kid's good, you know, and we know him really well. He went to Cochise Junior College. He wanted to come here. We made the decision to pass on him, and as it turns out, that was a bad move by me. But he was a kid that I think only got like a handful of at-bats last year. He didn't even travel on the he wasn't on their postseason roster, but this year came back for his last year and has just been excellent. And, you know, as we're talking, they have a good team. We're going to have to play well.
What's your thoughts about their pitching staff? The ERA is a little over 5 right now. What have you seen on film, or what have you heard in regard to their pitching staff?
Well, we're familiar with them a little bit. I don't think their staff is as good as last year. They had the big stud last year. He's playing pro baseball, and you know, so he's gone. Ben Elder, their number one's a lefty. He was their number two last year. And then their number three is their number two now, Aaron Munson. He actually played with our kids out in Kansas summer ball, even with my son, for the Kansas Cannons last summer. And he's a firm throwing righty, not a big guy. But they have a real, real good kid out of the bullpen by the name of Childers. And I thought he was one of the best pitchers at the World Series last year. They started him in that if necessary game last weekend, but he's been a guy they use every single game out of the bullpen, and he's tough.
Mavs baseball coach Chris Hanks with us today as the Mavericks get ready to take on Angelo State in the Super Regional in Angelo, Texas. And Chris, as far as your club goes from a pitching standpoint, Cannon Handy, I would assume Ryan Day in the second game of that. How do you approach it in terms of your bullpen? Yeah, you know, Cooper Vasquez, I'm sure we'll get some time out of your pen. Likewise for Gage Edwards. But how do you approach your pitching heading into this weekend of the Super Regional and a spot in the World Series and carry at stake?
Well, we're going to obviously start with Cannon Handy game one. We aren't certain about game two yet. You know, we're dealing with, I mean, maybe Tyler Day has a little bit of a sore arm. We're monitoring that. And so it's kind of all hands on deck. You know, we might end up having to go with Frankie Fitzgerald game two. But we're still evaluating that. But we will start off with Cannon Handy.
All right, 6 o'clock for that first game this Friday. And as I said earlier, we're still working out some logistics on where the game will be. We believe it'll be over on our sister station, The Monkey, 95.7 possibly, depending on what happens with the Avalanche and their series with St. Louis. But we will have Maverick Baseball on for you this weekend on the NBC Grand Family of Stations. Hey, Chris, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Enjoyed being out there on Saturday. I know you talked about the environment at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex with Tyler after the game, and what a great environment. And it was. It's been, I think, more than anybody thought it would be, right? In terms of the atmosphere and in terms of what that place is like when you have fans in there, that place just really is rocking when you guys are playing at Bergman.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a special facility. It's a cozy place. We're starting to really fall in love with it, and I think the fans that have gone out to watch games have enjoyed it. It's, you know, because of the smaller size, it condenses everybody together. People are right on the field. It's just an amazing place. We're so happy and so grateful to our institution for building that thing, and Tim Foster for, you know, lighting the candle on it and making it happen from the start. So people who didn't get out there this year, they're going to need to get out there in the future because it's a special place.
No doubt about it. Hey, Chris, I appreciate it. I always appreciate you coming on the program, and best of luck when you guys go down to Angelo. Let's get this ball club to another World Series, okay? Good luck coming up this weekend.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care. Chris Hanks, coach of the CMU baseball team. Once again, they'll be at Angelo State this Friday night. First pitch at 6 o'clock for that one, and we are still trying to sort out exactly where it'll be. We believe it'll be on Monkey 95.7. That seems to be kind of where we'll probably have the Mavericks and Angelo State this Friday night.
Speaking of playoff baseball, the 4A bracket is out.
Okay, tell me more.
Palisade Bulldogs. Number one seed, 4A, Palisade. It was all chalk, by the way, I think, everybody that got through. Palisade's number one seed. They'll take on Cheyenne Mountain Friday morning, 9:30. Breakfast Bulldogs baseball.
Okay.
And if they win, they'll get either Northfield or Ponderosa at 2:30 Friday afternoon.
All right.
So the other teams, Golden and Erie and Devlin and Severance.
Okay. So good luck to Nate Porter and Palisade. Once again, we're trying to work on getting that game on this Friday morning. So hopefully we'll be able to pull that all together and be able to bring you both the Mavericks and Palisade on Friday, of course, with the start of the Junior College World Series coming up on Saturday right here on the Team Sports Network. We'll take a break. 9:16, it's Mav Day, and up next we'll talk with CMU first baseman Jordan Stubbings. That's next on the Jim Davis Show.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team. Get in the locker room with Colorado Mesa Sports. This is Mav Day on the Team.
With us right now, the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. He had a huge game in the South Central Region 2 Bracket Championship game on Saturday. A couple of home runs. One of those just happened to be a grand slam. 8 RBIs on the day. Jordan Stubbings, Maverick Gold Glove winning first baseman, joins us right now. Jordan, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on today.
Anytime, man. Thanks for having me on.
Take us through what happened in that first inning on Saturday, where Matthew Turner leads it off. A lot of energy in your dugout with that leadoff home run from Matthew. Then later on, you get the opportunity, bags loaded, to drive a ball to left field. And you get a grand slam in the championship game of your side of the regional tournament. Just take us through what was going through your mind as a senior in a game where that could be the last game of your career or could be another step toward getting back to the World Series for you and your teammates. Take us through what it was like in that first inning.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of emotions going up and down, especially when Chase went up ahead of me and he unfortunately didn't get bases loaded and drive people in. So I went up there and I was just like, you know, got to leave it all on the line, you know, put all your chips in the middle and just play and have fun because this could be the last time and you never want to go out just regretting things. So it was like the whole team mentality this week and it was just, hey, go have fun because, you know, this might be the last time we play together and we never want to look back at this time and be stressed and be upset that we didn't just go out there and play as a team and have fun.
And that kind of came from Skip. That came from the very top of, hey, go out, have fun, swing free, you know, be aggressive. Don't be stupid. Be aggressive, though, and just have a good time. And I mean, like he likes to tell, you know, if you guys would lose a game, hey, we're going to turn on the, you know, the stereo in the clubhouse. We're going to have a good time. We're going to put this one behind us if we lose one. And he had that same kind of approach with this one where, look, just go let it all hang out, man, like what you were saying. And, boy, you guys responded to that kind of just a laid-back approach to going to the game on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. He challenged us before the game. He said that the pitchers have been doing a great job for us, which they have been. They've been grinding for us all week, and we haven't been scoring like we usually do. So he challenged us before the game to get in the double digits and, you know, I mean, we did. we absolutely got in the double digits. And it was like it kind of felt like the chains had been taken off of us a little bit, where we've been playing with so stressed and so, like just trying to make things happen and instead of just, you know, hey, we're good as heck at baseball. Like, let's go out there and just play and let's go play against the score, not play against the team, if you know what I mean. So it was really fun getting to do that. Scoring a lot of runs, and it was good to see that again because we haven't scored a lot of runs in the past couple of weeks, so that was fun to play.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you guys got and scored 28 runs against St. Edward's on Saturday to advance the Super Regional. Jordan Stubbings, Maverick first baseman, with us today on the program. And when you look at, you know, some of the other guys in this lineup, Hayden McGeary, obviously Spencer Bramwell, those guys have been all-region players, have had sensational seasons in terms of what they've done at the plate. But, I mean, you're a guy that's certainly capable of putting up really impressive power numbers. And sometimes maybe, you know, you're rewarded for your gold glove work, Jordan, at first base, and you've been sensational there. But maybe I think sometimes people forget what a good power bat you are. And, boy, you get to put that on display on Saturday, saying to McGeary and to Bramwell, hey, you know what, you guys can go yard, but I've got some pops in this bat as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, it's been a down year overall power-wise for me. I'm still hitting at a good average, but
sure.
Yeah, it's been kind of difficult to get them over the fence this year, and you know, I've been just happy that I haven't let that get to my head, and I've just been like, you know what, you're just going to do what you're going to do, take what the game gives you. You know, I'm not a McGeary where I can pop a ball up and still have enough juice to get it out, you know, but I still have juice, and I'm going to just play my game and allow the game to come myself, and that's how I'm going to be a good player and good player for the team. And that's how I've always been since I've been here. I mean, I've hit really well every year since I've come to Mesa, so I'm just going to keep doing me.
Yeah, 2021 All-RMAC first team this year, won the RMAC Gold Glove at first base from Legend High School. Senior Jordan Stubbings joining us today on the program. And take me through what it's been like to play at Bergman, where in this your senior year get a chance to play in that great facility. The crowd, you guys have to really feed off that crowd because it's so close to you guys now with the intimate nature of that ballpark, Jordan. That just has to make it a lot of fun when you really feel the energy of the Maverick fan base cheering you guys on.
Oh, it's been amazing, man. I mean, we all played at Saplesio every single year since I've been here, so it's been a little bit different playing in a different field and having a new home feel and everything like that. So that it was hard to get used to it at first, but then all of a sudden when they let the fans come in and they started having like the opening night and everything like that, it just felt right at home. I mean, the fans have been amazing, and we appreciate how much and how many people have come out and supported us, and it's been so fun. I mean, at Bergman, it's like you guys are right on top of us, so we can hear everything, we can feel the vibes, and it's been so much fun playing in front of everybody there. It sucks that I won't get to do that again, but you know, that it was a lot of great memories. A lot of great memories there already. And we only played, I think, like two or three series, like under the lights there as well. So I wish I got more, but you know, it was fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, savor what you got, right? And the times you got to play at the Diamond. Jordan Stubbings with us today, hitting .357 on the season, 65 RBIs. Of course, had the tremendous 8 RBI performance. And the Mavericks went over St. Edward's to punch their ticket to the Super Regional. And now, Jordan, it's a team you guys know pretty darn well, and that's Angelo State. Pitching staff may not be as good as it was last year, but they still have a team that, from an offensive standpoint, they're hitting around .365, pretty good offensive club. You guys go into that as the underdog, and I would think that you have to kind of relish that, right, being the underdog in this one against Angelo.
Oh yeah, we're really excited about this weekend. I mean, the last couple of years that we've gone down there, we've been the one seed going down there and playing, and so you've had a lot of pressure on yourself to do well. And then now we're just like, you know what, put all the chips to the middle, have fun, man. It's gonna be so much fun. I'm really, really excited. I'm really excited how our team's gonna go down there and play, because I know that we're gonna go down there and play like we have nothing to lose, because you know. That's what underdogs should do, man. That's we're the underdogs this weekend, so we just play with no regrets. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. I mean, they are a good team, and we've played them so many times now. We know them, and I mean, the series is even since I've been here. I mean, I think we're 2-2 against them overall in the playoffs, and we won my sophomore year when we won down there to go to the World Series and everything. And then last year, of course, is what happened. But, I mean, it'd be nice to leave them with a winning record. You mean leave? I want to beat them again really bad, and I know all of our seniors do too.
Jordan Stubbings, Maverick first baseman, with us today. They have Ben Elder, who is their number two last year, who's become their number one this year. 9-2 record, 3.28 ERA. He's one of those arms that's back for them, and you know, like I said, their pitching staff maybe not as strong as it was last year, but Elder leads a group that's pretty good, and I'm sure you guys will probably face Ben Elder coming up on Friday.
We they have a good staff. They're just experienced. They know what they're doing. They're not very overpowering, but you know, they know how to get out just like our guys. So we're gonna be just fine, and we're gonna just get on there, take us one step at a time, and have fun, man.
And make another trip to the World Series, right? I know that'd be the perfect way for you, all your fellow seniors, to finish off your career, going back to Cary and coming back with a national championship. And this is another step in hopefully making that happen.
Yeah, you know, it's been our dream. I mean, this class that I'm a part of has done so many things together, and we've played so many games together. We have so many records at the school now because we're just the old guys that got the hat because of COVID and everything like that. So the one thing we are missing, though, is that national championship. And we definitely can do it, and we have the talent to do it. It's just a matter of just putting it all together and playing for each other at the right times, you know. So, well, that's our goal, and we're grinding to get back there, and we're excited about it, but, you know, one step at a time.
Hey, Jordan, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. Best of luck to you and the Mavs down at Angelo on Friday.
Thank you. Thank you. Right, have a good one.
You too. Take care. Jordan Stubbings, Mavericks first baseman. Stubby with a 8 RBI day the other day. 2 home runs, one of those a grand slam, and the Mavericks win over St. Edward's. And so it's now Angelo State. 5-2, the Mavericks are all time against Angelo State.
That's a good omen.
So, or actually, I think Angelo's 5-2. Let me check it. I think it's the other way around.
It's not as good an omen, but
I have to double check.
Turn it around.
I've got to double check that and make sure.
One way or the other. See, I can spin it either way.
Spin it. I like that. Spin either way.
Yep.
I got to double check that before I say. I think Angelo's 5-2 against them, but
I mean, you know, we'll figure it out.
I'm trying to find it here. Actually, matchup. Okay, here we go. I had to navigate the website. Yeah, they lost 5-2 the last time they played. It's 3-3.
Oh, okay.
I just missed. I looked at the wrong part of the thing. They're 3-3. So it's a rubber match coming up, starting on Friday. But the last time they faced them was last year in the regional when they lost 5-2. But
largest margin of victory, 4 runs.
Means they played some pretty close ball games.
Pretty tight
over the years. All right, 9:32. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Appreciate you joining us today. And it's time for...
That's the story of the greatest sport moment in all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
All right, so yesterday we had the first night game got rained out. Well, today, tonight, that game finally got played. 1935, the Reds beat the Phillies in Major League Baseball's first night game, 2-1, before 25,000 fans in Cincinnati. 1981, Bobby Unser wins a very controversial Indianapolis 500. Mario Andretti, who finished second to Bobby Unser, is declared the winner because Unser broke a rule during a slowdown period near the end of the race. The decision is later reversed, giving Unser credit for the victory, but he's also fined $40,000. 1990, Edmonton Oilers win their 5th Stanley Cup in 7 seasons. The Oilers beat the Bruins 4-1. Goalie Bill Ranford, who held Boston to 8 goals in the series, wins the Conn Smythe Trophy for the most valuable player. 1992, Al Unser Jr. wins the closest finish at the Indianapolis 500, beating Scott Goodyear by 0.43 of a second, barely half a car length. Lynn St. James, the second woman to race at Indy, finishes in 11th place. Also on this day, we got one. Helio Castroneves, back in 2009, becomes the 9th driver to win the Indianapolis 500 3 times. All right, 9:33. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. So, do we have a winner yet?
No, we don't.
Stadium Cinema. Pyle, I got to admit, Pyle, it's not been a great day, Pyle. It's not been a great day for you.
So Dustin we've had guesses of Slapshot. That's incorrect.
From Dustin, which... Right Sport, wrong film.
Wrong film. This involves actual real professional teams, and here's the clip again.
Feeling better? Get in there.
Do I have to give away one?
It's an action movie that is centered, it's centered around
a playoff, a Stanley Cup playoff game.
Because we've established it's hockey.
A finals game, actually.
Yes.
So, there you go. And let's see. Hockey, so popular. The vice president in the movie was at the game.
And the main character, the main protagonist, pretty darn well-known action hero.
Yeah, in the 80s and early
90s. Yeah, 80s and early 90s. And did a French action movie recently. Supposed to be like the last one he's going to do. He was also on a show, I want to say it was on Amazon, that was that kind of made fun of him being an action hero, where he was supposed to live this double life of being an action hero, but he actually was a spy
I heard that, and show was actually pretty decent.
And it was kind of funny. Don't think it's on anymore, but it was kind of funny.
Let's see. This is probably the last good, the last decent action movie this person was the star of.
Right.
He was in a conglomerate type action franchise that wasn't very good, but it blew a lot of crap up. So.
That is true.
But, yeah. So there's a, let's see. Do we have a guess now? No, we don't, but that's okay. So there's some of your...
It is an action movie that is centered around a sporting event, around a Stanley Cup hockey final. So if you're thinking straight-up sports film, it's not a straight-up sports film.
But there's... It's
significant sports action in it.
Yeah, sports is part of the plot because they needed the specific person there.
And right.
The draw was the hockey game.
Scratch my back with a hacksaw!
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines in the movie.
Should I just say my favorite scene?
Go ahead.
They crashed a helicopter through the roof. It was awesome.
You're just going, what?
We're an hour and 20 minutes into this. I'm ready to just have
And like you said, the protagonist, while a hero, worst dad in the world.
Awful dad.
Awful dad. Well-meaning dad.
Yes.
But an awful dad nonetheless.
Hey, he tried. He's involved. But he and Liam Neeson are the worst dads ever.
Yes.
Because Liam Neeson's kid's always in danger.
But she's also an adult, too. It's not like it's his job to constantly...
But at some point, if he's this security consultant...
Yeah, you think she would know enough, right?
She would
be
taught at some point.
And that his ex-wife wouldn't get kidnapped and...
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I know, but you're also... She was an adult when she gets kidnapped, too.
But you would think she would have learned over the last... 25 years
would have figured out something from dear old dad. But in the film we're thinking of today, this is a child. Yeah. Okay, this was not an adult.
Jared's correct, but Jared won yesterday,
so sorry Jared. Got to sit it out, man.
So we're waiting. We're hanging in there, pile. Come on.
So text in your answer right now to win with our triple play record stadium cinema today, the downtown double play, with a gift card to Triple Play Records on Main Street, 538 Main Street, and a small Antipasto salad, Junction Square Pizza, 7th and Main.
We should do a contest, but instead of sports movies, it's bad dad movies.
Maybe for Father's Day, we should do bad dad movies.
Bad dad movies. All right. This is one of them.
Because he would be a bad dad. The intention's good. He takes his kid to a game, but he's on the job during the game. He's got to work, and so...
And it's not like he's there as, you know, he's a coach.
No.
And there's somebody with the team that can watch his kid. He's not even connected to the sport. But
he is in an enforcement
job,
though it's not law enforcement.
No. He's enforcement adjacent.
I don't think we could give you any more clues than that without just saying
without
what
just
it
saying
is.
Saying the name.
All right, 938.
It's also a form of finishing.
Yes. a well connected strongly to sports.
Verse.
The name of the movie, yes. Well connected to sports. 939.
Phrase, word I was looking for.
Phrase, yes.
Again, English, my first language, I promise.
939. We will take a break, and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Stay by the radio.
You're listening to the Jim Davis Show on the Team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction.
Welcome back, 942. This ain't no party. This ain't no disco. We're not fooling around. No. We finally have a winner, don't we? We have a winner?
We have a winner, but we don't have a name.
For Triple Play Records Stadium Cinema. Got to have a name.
Yep. Hit us up with your name. You've got a text waiting for you with those instructions.
And you get the gift card to Triple Play Records on Main Street, yep. 538 Main Street, and Junction Square Pizza, small and a pasta salad. So, do we have a name?
We got a name.
Okay, let's hit it then.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Lonnie, who can't always listen at work, which we get, but we appreciate your effort.
We do.
Is the first in the door with the correct answer. Sudden death. We got a lot of right answers after we essentially gave you the name of it. Tim, Robert, Josh, Jared, they all got in with sudden death. But Lonnie first in the door.
Jean-Claude Van Damme played a fire marshal who takes his kid. Son and daughter takes his kids. I forgot it was kids.
Yep.
To the Stanley Cup Final. Pittsburgh and Chicago at the Igloo in Pittsburgh. That's where you reference the helicopter crashing through the roof. And his kids get abducted by Powers Booth, who is the terrorist guy that kidnaps the vice president.
Mm-hmm. Whose vice president's security detail was in on it?
Yes.
So. And I transposed numbers. We actually had Lonnie's information in the system already. But again, for the third time today, English, first language. My bad. So, but yes, Lonnie, congratulations. Bad dad movie, sudden death.
Because his kids get kidnapped. Because he's off trying to save the day, right? He's trying to be the hero. And
he dresses up as the
mascot.
Sick or injured the mascot, but also the goaltender, remember?
That's right. He's
That's
the goaltender.
What this scene is from. Right. I had to cut out an F word.
It's a ridiculous movie, but it is
ridiculous.
It's fun, though. It's fun. And then he was in Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Yes.
Which was it was pretty funny. At least I watched a few episodes of it, where he's essentially himself, but he's also in reality a spy in retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty good. So, got a text. Unnamed texter, just curious, you guys do a phenomenal job covering Mavs baseball every spring. What an amazing experience it would be if one of you had the opportunity to travel down to Angelo to cover the tournament or the World Series. I know it interferes with JUCO, but you guys know our boys and our club so well. Love the show and the local coverage. Yeah, I wish we could. Mm-hmm. Our resources get stretched really thin this time of the year.
Yeah.
Because of JUCO, because it is something that, you know, not that we are not committed to covering the Mavs and but we are, but a big part of our commitment for a long time has been
JUCO,
the Junior College World Series.
We had a chance last time they made the World Series. We were set up, but circumstances just made it to where
didn't work out,
and so we kind of had to take a pass on it and have somebody else step in and cover the games for us. So we've had a chance here and there. Circumstances have made it to where we can't always get someone to the Super Regionals or the World Series. I believe one year we had our buddy Beetle at the World Series.
Yeah, Curtis went when he was also coaching with them.
Traveling with the Mavs at the time. So we've had that. We've had people that we've worked with regularly cover the Mavs for us down in Texas or whatnot. So we try to build those relationships, right? So we can have a little bit more of a committed flavor as opposed to, you know,
right,
what we can get. But sometimes what we can get is all we can get.
Right. I ideally be great if we could send somebody, but it doesn't always work out that way because the Junior College World Series is a week-long 10-team tournament, which requires a lot of manpower to pull it off. So, but we appreciate the kind words. We really do. And
we got somebody fooled. I'm just saying. No kidding.
Or somebody's getting a check, that regular check from us.
Yes, that $4.38 check.
Thank you, though.
Cash it now. It may bounce.
We appreciate that. Let's see. So the big story, Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN, their NBA insider, reporting that the Tim Connelly, Nuggets team president, is going to the Minnesota Timberwolves, 5-year deal, $40 million, and he'll also end up getting ownership stake in the Minnesota Timberwolves. Connelly met with Timberwolves minority owners Mark Lowry and A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, in recent days, and then flew to Minnesota on Saturday to meet with majority owner Glenn Taylor for the final step of becoming their new president of basketball operations. And so Connelly, in a statement, because Wojnarowski initially had the inside information on this, then the statement came out that was official from the team that he'd been hired. So now it looks like it's going to be Calvin Mack, the GM, who will take over as team president. Calvin Booth, not Calvin Mack. Nuggets had a player named Calvin Mack once upon a time. Calvin Booth. And Calvin Booth will now have to figure out where things go in terms of this franchise, which is kind of sort of on the cusp of being maybe an NBA championship caliber team, but there's still a lot of issues and things that need to be addressed on this team. First off, it's Nikola Jokic with the Supermax that he said he's willing to sign, but he can't sign it until the Nuggets put it on the desk for him to sign.
And I think if we're going to use kind of, sort of, maybe, and cusp, I don't think they're a championship-level team. But
there's that talk about them, right, that they could be if they get a piece here, a piece there.
I mean, they're maybe a step or two away. There are more steps this year because they didn't have the full complement of players, right? And I know you can't guard really against the health of Jamal Murray's knee and MPJ's back, but you definitely can improve the quality of the depth on this team, which they haven't really been able to do this run of success.
And so now for Calvin Booth, that Nikola Jokic, the Supermax offer, that's part of this. It's also finding some more scoring punch on this team. Somebody can help out defensively a little bit more, in particular help out Aaron Gordon on that side of things. In the Denver Post, they reference Arturas Karnisovas, who was the Nuggets GM that ended up going to Chicago. And he traded away picks in an effort to win immediately. And so should that be the approach for the Nuggets, to take advantage of what you have? You have the back-to-back MVP in Nikola Jokic. Do you need to look at every possible option on the table to get him the help, to get him where he should be, he rightfully should be, and that's playing for an NBA championship? When you've won back-to-back NBA titles, that guy should be playing for titles. But he's got to have some help. And will Calvin Booth be aggressive? Will he be like Arturas Karnisovas in Chicago and decide that there's trades need to happen? There are better fits for this roster out there. I mean, can they believe that Michael Porter Jr., can he stay healthy? And defensively, he's a liability on this basketball team.
He's a liability in general, just because you can't count on him to be there. I can't.
So far, his lack of durability has become a major problem.
And I think you pass on him when he comes up as a free agent. But, I mean, you take a look at the Celtics. They paired Tatum and Brown together, and they're killing it right now. You know, if Ja Morant gets some help, Memphis is going to be better. If Luka gets some help. They're in this series with the Warriors.
Yes, they are.
You need to get your stud some help. And sometimes Jamal Murray's it, but they need somebody else. They need at least one more scorer that can give them 15 to 20 a night.
Need a wing
that can be counted on to do that.
Need somebody that can be have an impact from the wing in terms of scoring and defense.
You can't just get a 3-and-D guy, though. You know what I mean? You
right.
need somebody that...
But that's going to be part of it.
Yeah, that's going to... Definitely. They need somebody that can play both ends of the court.
There's a lot of issues that they...
Everybody is like, Bryn Forbes, hey, he can hit threes, and he'll D up a guy. He was a nothing burger
series. We're talking about a guy that's far more impactful than a Bryn Forbes.
But, like I said, it just can't be a 3-and-D. A guy that spots up in the corner... You know, takes 8 shots from out there. Some nights hits 5. Some nights hits 1. And, you know, you need a guy that can play on the interior. Can play down low. Maybe 18 feet in, right? Because you only have one of those guys every night. And that's Nikola Jokic. I'm not saying you need another 7-foot guy. But you need somebody that can get to the hoop effectively.
Does it make sense to keep Boogie Cousins around? There are times you say yes. There are times you go, I don't.
But he's not going to be a 17-point-a-night guy.
No, but a piece off your bench. It's not going to start.
To play the role he played?
To play the role he played it pretty darn well.
Right. But
there was not this incredible drop-off offensively from Nikola Jokic to him.
You need somebody more consistent than Aaron Gordon, Will Barton, to help these guys out.
And doesn't Will Barton become kind of the linchpin in this thing, and that maybe he was a guy that Conley really liked, and that maybe it's time to move on from him.
I hope he gets a roster spot somewhere else, because I don't want to see a guy lose a job.
Yeah, me
neither. I don't want to see him work for my team anymore, though. I'm done with Will Barton. I don't need to see, you know, him doing the James Harden, you know, hand wave at a guy on the defensive end, and then go down and take an ill-advised shot and miss it, and sometimes not even hit the rim. I'm good with that. I don't need to see any more of that unless it's in somebody else's colors. Yeah.
Regardless, Calvin Booth's got a lot of issues. Monte Morris, does he still fit on this team as a backup point guard? I like Monte Morris, but maybe time has come for him.
He might get paid somewhere else.
He might
play a little more.
All right. So very quickly, we have just a few seconds left here. Mm-hmm. The Tim Anderson, Josh Donaldson thing.
Okay.
The feeling is this about Donaldson, that while Donaldson may have implied that, hey, look, we've had this relationship and I was ragging him and I meant no harm because he had said he was the next Jackie Robinson. If you would have read the comments from Tim Anderson, it was more from the racial social aspect of being like Jackie Robinson, not so much the player. And that becomes where it becomes a slippery slope in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
If Donaldson just means Jackie Robinson, the player, and he's referring to himself being like Jackie Robinson, that's one thing. I'd like to think Donaldson, that's what he was referring to.
Right.
And not the other. I just think there's a lot of gray here in regard to whether this is a racial insult or not. I just wish Tim Anderson would have been more direct about, hey, this is why racially it bothered me. And then we could have understood it better.